Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Brilliant. Now, before we get into the word, just want to welcome Eric Casso to come and share for a few minutes. Eric, many of you know him and his family were here a few years back, lived in the UK for over 10 years, originally from the States, got a massive heart for Europe and other nations, and just has God assignments to go to nations, if we can put it that way, God assignments to go to nations. And some of what Eric does is taking a cross, a big old thing with a wheel at the bottom to, a wheelie cross, but to go through capital cities and through nations, breaking ground, breaking things open in terms of the things of God, and training people and taking people with him, preaching the gospel, seeing people saved, seeing miracles out in the streets, and some phenomenal stuff. And I want us, as Eric comes up, just to give him a massive welcome. Really honor Eric as he comes to share for a few minutes.
Amen. Well, it's good to be back. When we're not with you, we think about you. We love you so much. And I really miss, because we usually do Easter and December. We call it the Christmas crosswalk. It's a little bit early. But I was in Rome this Easter, so I had to say, okay, UK, I love you. I can't come this time. And I really, really missed it. And Grandpa Casto, as some of you call him, my dad, who comes over, he couldn't come on this one. He said, just give him my love. And but my father, he called me. And he said, Isaiah 65:1. He says, where God says, I am sought by those who ask not. I am found by those who sought not. I said, behold me to a people who weren't called by my name. He said, that's what crosswalk is. He said, so many of those people aren't even thinking about God. Now, when you go out there and you look at them, you know. It's like there's just a wall in their spiritual eyes, their countenance. He says, and then you come, and the voice of God comes to them. They weren't seeking God, but God was seeking them. And so we spent about 6 hours with the Bible school students on Thursday in the morning and at night. And then we went out for it's 2 12-hour days, okay? Friday and Saturday, we were in Westminster, right at the steps of Parliament. I say from the steps of Parliament to the ends of the earth, because the whole world is there. And we together, you look at this church, but this church is, you're touching the ends of the earth. You don't realize that. This anointing, this mantle that God's put on pastor is touching the globe. And that's how I got here. And so I really honor you, Pastor. I really love you. And so thank you. But I tell you what, on Friday we came out on Westminster Bridge, and that's my bridge, okay? It belongs to me. And in heaven, it's going to be in my yard, okay? And just got to tell you, and Big Ben. But we come out there, and there's the cross, and people's eyes are they just open up, and the tracks begin to go out, and the team begins to say, we've never seen tracks go out like this before. Well, there's an operation of heaven that comes down. Crosswalk has really very little to do with me and a whole lot to do with the Lord. Angels moving people. People walk by you, turn around, come back, take a track, and walk off. The sower sows the word. And when we go out into these fields, there has to be the help of angels if we're going to do it for the Lord. And I told the team, I said, listen, this is not about what we're going to do for Jesus. Jesus wants us to do it with him. And so you see all these amazing things happen throughout the day, and if you just slow down, you go, yeah, that was angels. Angels were working this whole thing. We went up into an area just kind of north of Trafalgar called Seven Spindles, and something like that. So we're up there and we're preaching. And one of our team members, she said, I was talking to a guy, he was from Dubai. And she said, every time I said, God loves you. She said, the timing was perfect. You were behind preaching, God loves you. And it was just coming in and just reinforcing and plastering, bam, bam, bam. And he said, I'm going to take this. I'm going to go back to Dubai tomorrow, and I'm going to be reading. And then we were down at the tube station at Westminster overlooking Uncle Ben. And he's one of my relatives. And we're preaching the gospel right there. And there's a man over here. He's stuck. He can't move. Now, that happens a lot of times. People get stuck. Because why? God is speaking to people. They're not thinking about God, maybe. Some of them are, but a lot of them are. And I believe angels just come and put their hands on people's heads, and they're like this. They don't know why they're stuck there. And so after I get done preaching, I go over there, and I start talking. He goes, I'm from Saudi Arabia. He goes, I am Muslim. And so we start talking, and I start telling him about Jesus, how much Jesus loves you. Well, the end of the conversation, he says, he takes the tract, the leaflet, and he says, I am tonight going to begin to look for and study and read about Jesus. Praise God. And then in the same spot, another man wanders into it, and he gets stuck. I don't know if the anointing was just there, and he got stuck. I knew he looked irritated, but he was stuck. He couldn't move. And then Lucy went over there, and finally he took the tract. When he took the tract, he walked off. And so that happens a lot. You know, the Bible, Jesus said, the sower sows the word. That's where the kingdom is released. And so many people come to me, I was saved because of a gospel leaflet. Someone gave me a gospel leaflet. And yesterday, the preaching, my throat's a little bit sore. Girl, you can hear it. But yesterday, the preaching, I told Alistair, and Alistair, your help was so amazing. This wild man goes out there and holds the cross for me while I preach, and he's such a blessing. But yesterday, because we did a lot of teaching on Thursday, and then Friday, we up there in the Seven Spindles area, we were preaching and preaching and preaching, and a lot of stuff gets stirred up. I mean, demons don't like preaching? Now I'm going to be honest with you. Demons don't like preaching in here, but if it goes out there, it's even worse. Because we were interacting. We gave out 20,000 tracts. And tracks in foreign languages too, Italian people. Oh, bellissimo. And they're taking it. And Spanish people and French people. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Hey. Wonderful time. I mean, and the German people, we just give them in English. Because we don't have any German tracks right now. So we're going to get those. But so many precious people, 20,000. Went to the ends of the earth. One night as we were finishing, you never finish when you think you're finished. You just might as well stay engaged. A cross walks right into the midst of an Indonesian school group. They speak English. And they're just walking in the night, in the dark, through Westminster, right? And there are the tracks. I start saying, Apa Kabar. And they're like, oh, Indonesian. Yeah, bike. And I start speaking a little bit Indonesian with them. And the tracks are just going out. Some of them have two or three tracks, and there they go, off with their little teachers. They're only this, off with their teachers, and shoo, they're gone. But the gospel is with them. That gospel is going to go back to Indonesia, because as soon as the teachers say, "Give me that," this students are going, "No, I ain't giving it to you. It's mine." And so God is speaking to the world from this nation. And let me tell you something. I so love Britain. Because you've got a raw nerve in this nation called street evangelism. Every major move of God that hit the global scale started in the streets of this nation or ended up there. Whether it was William Booth and his pounding drums or Wesley Whitfield and all those guys, this nation has something in it concerning street evangelism. And so that draws me back to come to this nation, to stand, to be with you, wonderful people, and to keep preaching the gospel on the streets, and to love this nation, and to love the world. Let me tell you, the sun, you know, they used to say the sun never set on the British Empire. Let me tell you, it still doesn't set, because they come here. And so the sun doesn't set was in London. Boom. And the gospel, through God's wisdom, was planting through the help of this anointing, this calling on Pastor Colin and upon you. You carry it, whether you know it or not. And from there, we're just planting the gospel into the nations of the world. Amen. And so we're so thankful for the Bible school students. I don't know if they're here this morning, but thank you so much. You guys were awesome. Amazing, amazing, amazing. And so, Clive, I don't want to go in much longer. I know you've got a message, and you're going to share something about the next year. So, but thank you. Thank you so much. And let me just say this. You're called to evangelize. Evangelism isn't doing something for Jesus. It's doing something with him. And let me tell you something. There ought to be something, because, you know, Jesus said this. He said this. The love that you had for me before the foundation of the world, it's going to be inside of them. We have no idea about the immensity of God's love that's inside of you. But until you get out there and begin to put it where Jesus said to put it, it will never come alive to you. And there was a point where I walked by Westminster Abbey. There was a crowd, a line, a queue of people waiting to go see Dead Men's Bones. It's a graveyard, a beautiful graveyard, but they're all dead. And as I walked past them, I just walked and I felt the Holy Spirit say, slow down and take time and look at each face. Just go slow and look at it. Now, some of them a little bit, oh, this guy with the cross is right there. But the words came out, Jesus loves you so much. Jesus loves you so much. Merry Christmas. Jesus loves you so much. And you're just taking time and you're looking at people from all over the world. I don't know where they know about Jesus, but they were hearing the cross and they were seeing a team of people loving each other, smiling, and the love of the Father upon us out there with the world, out there with people, and planting the gospel. And I just said, Lord, change my heart. Don't ever let me become a boring Christian. And I say that humbly. There is life in Christ. If your Christianity is boring, there's something wrong with you. Because Jesus is alive. He's not dead. He got up early. He didn't have a lion. Before the sun was up, he was kicking that stone out. He was out there with a plan. He couldn't wait to see his disciples. Say, let's go. There's a job to do. And it's going to change your life. Whew. I just laid in bed last night. I was so happy. So happy. But I was also, you know, in that place where Jesus, so many lost people, that harvest is so big. He said, I just pray, Lord, that you were proud of us today. And I know you were. But Lord, I don't know. There's nothing like somehow when you're standing out there and you feel the voice of God in your spirit crying out to people, compelling them to be reconciled. That's what we were a part of. All these students and Dorothy, wherever Dorothy was such a help. So thank you very much. I got to put this mic down or I'll end up preaching, and that's just the preachers on me. But you're a part of it. But don't become boring. We're revival people. Are you revival people? Yeah. Well, of course we're revival people. But let me tell you something. Revival isn't just praying. Revival is obeying the Great Commission. And it's not going out just to do something. It's just going out to love people. And when you love people, then the Lord fills you back again. And then you get a closeness with the Lord. And then you realize there's a divine union here of when I open my mouth, I begin to draw down upon Jesus. And he fills me to love people and to help people and to lift people. You know, those people, they hear us preaching. When we start preaching, I mean, I'm a little bit bold, kind of. I got it from my mom. And And so at first, you know, they're not sure, but when they start to hear the message, they hear, hey, there's a God that loves me. And then people begin to soften and then they listen. And because maybe they don't get to hear that so much like that, that there's a God, he's really for you and he loves you. So as revival people, hey, you're out of balance if you're just praying for revival. Because there's a clerk at Tesco's, when you go to give your money, you got to look at him and let Jesus out. Amen? Because he's in there. He's been waiting. He's been down in the boat sleeping. And he's like, come on now, wake me up. Amen? Some of you need a little wake up. Amen? Amen. God bless you. We love you so much. I hope to be back at Easter, Lord willing. I won't be in Rome. I'll be in London. I love London. What a wonderful place. We love you so much, Clive. And Pastor, we love you. And I didn't tell you. Maybe I told you a little bit. But I go to a nation in the Himalayas, right? It's called Bhutan. It's a lovely place. And we've just been praying over that nation. And Pastor painted me a picture years ago and of a certain people group. I won't go into details. But Pastor, that picture, I went to those people group just a month and a half ago, was with them, had to trek up to the Tibetan border, no road there. Very arduous trek. I thought, why am I doing this? Many times. And I was with those people and my heart just changed. And I have that picture that you painted for me. It's just prophetic and it's just so beautiful. And there's something, everyone who sees it, they say the face, how he paints the face is amazing. So thank you so much. Merry Christmas.
Huh? We'll just pray for everybody in relation to going.
Well, stand up to your feet. We'll just raise your hands. Now, right now, I'm going to pray a prayer for you. But if you've been a little dusty, rusty, sleepy, and all of that, right now is a time to let it go and say, Lord, right now, I'm going to receive that stirring of the evangelist. That even some of you going out of here today, you're going to be in a shop or something. You're going to look at a person and you're going to feel a kick in your spirit. It's an unction to say something. Let it out. Let it out. Let those words out, because that's when life becomes fun. When words start coming out and you're going, uh-oh, what did I just do? I just told that lady Jesus loves you. Now I'm going to have to speak some more. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for my friends today. Father, I'm asking that the power of that evangelistic anointing, that first century anointing of the church, is still in the earth because the Holy Spirit's on them. I'm asking that the fire of God, the love of God, would so churn up and stir up into these people. In the name of Jesus, Lord, right now, I believe that God, you're changing some of their directions just right now, where they're going to be bumping into people, and it will be a divine contact, divine appointment. And Father, I want to thank you that as they obey and begin to go with you with this new hunger, letting boring be of the past. Letting loving people, because of the end hour, be of the future. In Jesus' name, we believe that name right now to do this work. A fire of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Clive,
yeah.
I just want to close with this. I've been working in Italy every month. Mm. It's amazing what we've been seeing in Italy. The pastor, you know what he told me? I didn't even know what I was going to do. He said, Brother Eric, and this is what got me. He said, I know Jesus is coming soon, and my nation is not even ready. He said, could we at least learn to go into the cities, at least to warn them, and to sow something into them? And we did that. In the last year, they've sown over 100,000 tracts into people. Preaching on the streets, leading people to the Lord, just out of one prayer, Jesus is coming soon. We've got to do something.
Yeah. Bless you, mate. Well, just grab a seat. You don't need a 40-minute message to receive from God, do you? 10, 15 minutes of faith-filled encouragement. I'm just going to share for a few minutes. Yeah, thanks, mate. You can bring them up. Next year, the overall kind of theme for next year as Kingdom Faith is going to be living as a sent people. What does it mean to live sent? What does that look like? And you know, when God speaks, he always gives you some phrases to go with what he says. And one of the things that God has spoken to me about next year is, in order to go further, we've got to go deeper. So you've got to go deeper to go further in the things of God. So we're just going to look at a few scriptures this morning. Not going to take long, but just to flow on with what Eric's been speaking about. But last week, Jane brought a message last Sunday. How many of you were here last Sunday and you heard that? If you haven't heard that message, I want to encourage you, go to the website, look under Watch and Listen, and click on last week's message and have a listen. It was about kingdom decreeing. It was a powerful message. It's something I know she's living in and what God is doing in her at the moment. And I'm hearing that show for blowing sometimes in my house, in our bathroom. My wife's like, you know, whatever she's doing in there. But she's decreeing, and we're both doing that, and we're seeing some things happen in people's lives as a result. In some family situations on her side of the family where there needs to be some breakthroughs and some things happening. And you know, when God speaks to you, something happens on the inside of you. That word becomes part of you. And then because it's part of you, that you then you speak that because it's part of you. It's not just an attachment somewhere on the side that you have to remember, oh yeah, God said that, so I better do something with it. You know, when God speaks and he works something in you, it becomes part of who you are. It becomes second nature in that sense. And you begin to then speak that and declare it and release it because it's become part of you, part of who you are. And so coming into next year, we're going to begin the year with 28 days of prayer and fasting. We're going to start on January the 4th, the Monday. We're going to go through to the 31st, which is a Sunday. We'll finish in all congregations with a big feast celebration on that Sunday and shared lunch and all that kind of thing. But what we want to do is, in order to go deeper, to go further, we're going to use the book of Matthew every day in our own times with God. And whether you pray with your husband or your wife or with your family or your small group or whatever context, but we're going to use the book of Matthew and we're going to walk through the gospel with Jesus for a month. And we're going to discover who he is, what he says, and how he works in our lives and in other people's lives. What we want to do is we want to journal with God. We want to go deeper with him in who he is in us and who we are in him. So I want to encourage you, we're going to encourage everybody. I know the children have been doing this sponsored silence and other things to buy a new Bible, to get a hold of it. And when Sally had that from God, she didn't know some of the things we're going to be looking into and doing in the new year. She didn't know that we were going to be going through the book of Matthew. She didn't know what God had been talking to me about at that point, about every one of us going deeper in God and the personal responsibility that each one of us has, and that we become self-feeding in that sense. When I say self-feeding, that personal responsibility, that God wants to reveal more of who he is when you're alone with him. When you are with him in the word, what he speaks to you, what he reveals, what you journal with him, what you write down, what begins to take a hold of you on the inside, what he speaks to you, what begins to ignite in you, what begins to explode on the inside as God speaks to you, as he reveals something more, as you journal with him, as you write down that stuff. What does it mean? What's the application in my life? And then pray through that and say, God, I want to live more in you. I want to live more in what you're saying. And that personal getting rooted in God in a deeper way. Three of you sound really excited about that. And, you know, we're going to have an awesome year next year. 2016, God wants next year to count in his kingdom purpose. He wants it to count in your life. He wants it to count in kingdom faith. So next year is going to be a year of things counting for the kingdom of God, right? So you remember our three chairs that we all know about so well now in the church. We have the one before you save when you don't know God. You have the great rest living in Christ, living in the power of the Holy Spirit, living in Him, in the great rest, this moment by moment relationship, moment by moment walk with Him, this place of total well-being. What a place to live with God, where you don't have to know everything you think you need to know, because this is a moment by moment walk of trust, relationship, revealing of who He is. Then we've got self over here. When we kind of disconnect with God in certain moments and we try and do things in our own strength, we lose our peace, our patience runs out, we get annoyed, frustrated, we're trying to work it out, we live in the head and not from the spirit, and it becomes a place of frustration and where's God, what's He saying, until we surrender and come back into the rest. And we realise, God, I can't do this. And He's like, I've been waiting for you just to come back. And then we live in this place, not from it, but in it, in that moment by moment. And this is going to be key to what we're going to look at over the next few minutes. So just grab your Bible, Galatians 2:20, a very well-known verse for a lot of people. We just quickly want to lay a very quick foundation for then what we're going to look at this morning, relating to now, but also to next year. Galatians 2:20, reading from the truth, okay? This says, I have been crucified together with Christ. So when we're living in this one, we don't know God. We're separated from Him. There's no relationship. But in order to come into relationship, in order to come into this place of rest, this moment-by-moment relationship, something has to take place. Because when we're here, we're living completely in ourselves. I is the center. Me is the center. And we're gripped by this thing called the power of sin or the power of darkness that we looked at a few weeks ago, and how we've come out of the power of darkness and now live in the kingdom of the Son that He loves and everything that means. But in order to move from here to the great rest, there's a crucifixion that needs to take place. And the Bible says here, I have been crucified with Christ. So when Jesus hung on the cross, standing in the gap between being separated from God and then coming into the great rest with Him, Jesus stood in that gap and was crucified. But the Bible says that in order for us to move from death to life, then we need to be crucified. And it says, I have been crucified with Christ. The person that I was no longer lives, is now dead. So what happened here is this person was crucified. Now that person is dead, buried. And the Bible says, look at this, I love this. It says, the person I was no longer lives. That person is dead. But then it says, but Christ now lives in me. So Christ killed off that old life, that old you that was powered by the sin nature. And the power of sin was broken over your life. So you're not powered by the sin nature anymore. Romans 8 talks about we're now powered by the Spirit of God. And so it says here, but now Christ lives in me. So there was nothing of Christ in me here. I was not acceptable. I was unacceptable. But because I was crucified with Christ, that old life, that old person no longer lives. And when He raised me up as a new person, it was now His life that was in me, not that old life. So now He says, I live in Christ and Christ is in me. So now I can be in Him and in the great rest. But then it says, the life I live in the body, in this physical body now, I live by faith. So everything that we live in the rest of God, in Christ, in the Spirit of God, is by faith. See, when we try and do things in our own strength, we move from faith to unbelief. Let's be really honest. That's what goes on. Why do we do things in our own strength? Because at that moment, we don't believe. We say, God, I'm going to be empowered by my own efforts, by my thinking, my reasoning, by what I think needs to happen or what I'm trying to suss out. And we move from faith to unbelief. But then the Bible says that the life I live in the body, I live by faith in God's Son, who has loved me and gave Himself on my behalf. So this place of rest is in Christ. It's powered by the Holy Spirit, in the Spirit. Now, we want to look at a few things this morning. I just want to give you a quick analogy. How many of you know what an oak tree looks like? Okay, we've got this big oak tree out the front of our house. And, you know, when you look at an oak tree, it stands strong. It stands tall. It looks immovable and unshakable. Now, it's been pretty windy the last week or so, isn't it, here and there? And we can hear the wind moving in this oak tree. The other night, I woke up a few times and it's like, that tree sounds like it's going to be swaying a lot out there. And it's not far from the front of my house, you know? But yet, even though that oak tree sways a little bit in the wind, it stands there resolute and says to the weather, it doesn't matter what you throw at me, I'm staying here. That thing looks immovable, unshakable, right? It's resolutely growing year after year after year. It doesn't matter what the weather, it doesn't matter what is thrown at it, it is there. Why? Because it's there because of what is not seen rather than what is seen. And under that tree, there are these roots that are going down. And every day, consistently, persistently, every day, every moment of the day and night, those roots are pushing and burrowing further and further to find fresh soil, fresh nutrients, fresh life, because the roots know that what flows up through those roots and into that trunk and out into those branches is what's going to produce the leaves and the acorns and the fruit that's going to multiply. And those roots know the life and the future of what is seen on the outside is totally dependent on what is going on in a place that is unseen. So one of the things I believe God wants us to have is a little phrase is from root to fruit for 2016. Little phrase, from root to fruit. Without any roots, there will be no fruit. And so God wants us to go deeper with Him, more rooted in Him. And so God wants us to press more into Him, going deeper, finding fresh soil, fresh life, freshness in His Word, freshness in who He is. Because we know that the fruit of our lives is dependent and what's going on in the roots, the things that are unseen, the place that is hidden. Now, I did a little bit of the other day. I looked at, you know, went online, looked at roots for a few minutes. I'm not a sort of anorak tree person. And let's talk about our roots being relationship with God. But roots of a tree need three things. They need water, they need oxygen, and they need soil. Okay? And let's just talk about at the moment, the water being the Word, oxygen being the Holy Spirit, and the soil is our hearts. Now, there's a little phrase I found on one, so this is not my phrase. This is about the soil that trees need. And depending on what the soil is doing depends on how the roots can go deeper or not, okay? So listen to this phrase. Soil compaction determines root penetration. Charles will probably know that one, but soup. Soil compaction determines root penetration. Depending on what the soil is like will depend on how deep the roots can go. If there is a density of soil, the roots have to work a lot harder. And how many of you know people don't like having to go the hard way? They take the easy way, right? And roots do the same thing. If it's too difficult to go deeper, then they go sideways. How many of you know if the roots just go sideways and keep going sideways, the strength and stability of the tree is going to be at risk? Let's turn to Matthew 13. We're going to look at a few things in there. Many of you will know this parable as well, the parable of the sower. And this is really important for next year, because when God started talking to me about this, about next year and about living as a sent people, I just thought God was going to unload on reaching the lost and just everything is geared to that. And next year we're going to have a lot more emphasis on that in different ways. But God said to me, the fruit will be determined by the roots in everybody's personal lives. There is a fruit that we bear as a church, because together as a body of people, we are a body. And God produces life and fruit through a body. But that body is made up of individual parts, individual members. And each member, every part, needs to be healthy in order for that body to produce the fruit that it is supposed to bear in terms of being healthy and fruitful and to grow in the way that it needs to. And so there's a personal responsibility that each one of us has for our lives. I can't walk with God for you. You can't do that for me. I can't hear God for you, you can't hear God for me. I can hear God in the sense that what is he saying to us as a church? And we can speak that. Anybody in leadership, we can preach and declare. Whoever stands up here on a Sunday can release the things of God. But unless you or I take a hold of that personally and say, God, I'm going to work with that word. I'm going to, like a root, I'm going to begin to press in and go deeper with you so that, the truth of that, what you're speaking becomes life in me. It will just stay as a good message. I don't know how many of you since last week, the way you've prayed this week has been different as a result of what Jane brought last week. We spent a bit of time with one couple the other night, and they came round, and one of them said, I've prayed differently this week as a result of last week. How I've been praying and what God's done in me in this last week, the way I pray is different. That's what needs to happen when we hear the word, whether it's you hear it personally or you hear it from a platform, that something in that word impacts you, that you say, right, something's going to be different from this moment because of what happens in you at that moment. There's a personal responsibility that you and I have that actually causes strength and life to be released into this body of who we are, into this oak tree of who we are as a people. How you are will either release life or it will draw life from what you're part of. And God has called every one of us to be a life giver and a life releaser into who we are. So let's have a look at Matthew 13. The same day Jesus went out the house and sat down by the lake. Large crowds gathered around him. Then he started to teach. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 and 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. The disciples then obviously asked him, didn't know what that means. Can you explain it to us? Verse 18, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the soil that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of his life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces, it's interesting, he then produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. So often we use this in relation to preaching the gospel and the state of people's hearts. But what Jesus is talking about is, what does the word do in someone's heart as a process? So he's talking about four kinds of hearts, a path, a hard heart. He's talking about a stony one where they're a bit more open, but other things of life kind of, you know, don't allow it to take root and say it gets stolen. Another one is the thorny ground and where the pressures of life and this and that and the other, and then it gets stolen. But then it talks about the good soil. So what does the word do? This is abbreviating what I was going to be saying. What does the word do in our lives? Why does God want us to journal with him through the word? Because the word enables our hearts, the soil of our hearts, to soften, to not be compacted, but the soil to be loose, well nourished, well fed, so that our relationship, the roots of our relationship, then have an easier life to go deeper in the things of God. So the word enables the soil of our hearts to be less compact. See, what does it say about roots in that? The soil compaction determines the penetration. If somebody has a hard heart, the seed of God's word can't go in because their heart is hard. Therefore, it easily gets stolen away. If it's rocky, it might begin to find something, but things then happen. There's no root, so it gets stolen.
The next one is thorny. It's a bit more open. It goes a bit further, but then the things of life choke it and it ends up dying. So what does God want to do? What does the Word do? As we journal with God day by day, it doesn't just stop your heart from being hard and deal with the stones and the thorny ground. Because if we're not careful, we're constantly saying, have I got a hard heart then? Have I got a stony heart? Have I got a thorny heart? And all of that. And God doesn't want us to look at our hearts in that way. If God wants to do something in your heart, He will show you, He'll reveal it to you. Because as you journal with His Word, because His Word is living and it's alive and He's speaking, God will speak into your heart and He'll till the soil of your heart, constantly refreshing, constantly nourishing, speaking more and more. And as you work with Him, cooperate with Him, the roots of your relationship with God will go deeper. See, we live in a culture, a world that says, I want everything and I want it now. We live in a Big Bang world. Not just a Big Bang theory that people, whatever, but a Big Bang world. You pay a pound and you win millions on the lottery. People borrow X amount of money because they want what they want now. They want it all now, And we've lost, not the art, but we've lost the importance of something growing, moment by moment, step by step, day after day, week after week, month after month. Even in the church, even in the Christianity, we've got so used to the quick fix it, come and pray for me so that I suddenly have a heart for God in a way I didn't 2 minutes ago. And it's like, man, it's veneer Christianity. Yeah. You can make veneer in a few moments. You can make a cheap bit of furniture by crushing a load of stuff and it looks nice on the outside. When you take the surface off, it crumbles. If you're going to be made of oak, if you're going to be an oak of righteousness, that's a moment by moment. That's a walk with God. That's a step by step. And in those moments, God will take you through some challenges. He'll take you through some trials. Why? Because He's forming you. He's fashioning you. He's proving Himself as to who He is in you and enabling you to go deeper in your roots, but then to go stronger and taller in the things of God. Let's nip on to a couple of other scriptures. Just as you receive Christ, this is Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord here, continue to live, continue to walk in Him. Look at this. Rooted, this is where you're going to be rooted. This is where you're going to be rooted. See, when we move into self, it's like we break ourselves off in that moment and say, God, I'm going to snap myself off from being connected and trusting You, and I'm going to try and do this in my own power. There's no roots for that. But then what does the Word say? Continue to live in Me, rooted. So if you're rooted, what happens? You then get built up in Him. Love that. Strengthened, established in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing then with thankfulness. There was in one of the national parks in America, there was a massive redwood tree, been there for hundreds of years. And one of the biggest ones in this national park. And one morning, one of the rangers was driving around and this tree, poof, falling over. And it was like, what is going on there? There were no storms last night. There was no bad weather. This huge, great tree, however tall it was and wide it was, you could drive a car through it if there was this massive tree just bang on the floor. And so they a whole bunch of different people who worked there and tree scientist people and all that kind of stuff, they started looking, how come this thing that yesterday looked so strong was going to be there for another hundreds of years, outliving all the rest of us, and now it's out on the floor? And they checked it for diseases. They checked it for all kinds of things. This thing had no diseases. There was nothing wrong with this tree. They were like, what is going on? And then what they realized, the problem, it was called footfall. And what had happened, because it was one of the biggest trees, it was one of the trees that everybody that came to the park wanted to go and look at this tree. And for however many years, people had walked round and round and round this massive tree. Imagine how deep and how far these roots would have gone. This tree, how many hundreds of feet high this thing was, how wide it was. And what they discovered was that all the root system had been crushed because of the footfall of people that had constantly walked around year after year, year after year.
And they couldn't see it on the outside, but the root system had basically died and killed off. So there was no life going to this tree. And even though on the outside it looked fine, it had died on the inside, but there was no disease. There was just no life that had come to it. And then one day, no wind, no storm, just going through another evening, another night, boom, it just fell over. And for us to stand in the days that are going on, to be the people of hope that God has called us to be, to be a city on a hill, to be a people that are not freaked out by the things that are going on, and all the fear that's gripping society, gripping nations at this moment, one thing we've got to do is we have to protect the root system in our life. So what they did, not just for, they did in loads of the trees in that national park, they then fenced them off. And they did a certain distance away so you couldn't get near these trees anymore because they said, we have to protect the root system if these trees are going to last another few hundred years. And for us, if we're not careful, if we're not rooted every day, if we're not living in that moment by moment, if we're not pressing in, allowing the roots to go deeper to find freshness in God daily, 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 not just, well, I'll give God a bit of time once a week. This is not about having a quiet time with Jesus. This is not about rah-rah, everybody spend time with the Lord every day. This is who is the power undergirding and fueling who we are as a believer, as a Christian in our lives. This is about saying, God, I want to be connected to the fuel supply because I'm totally dependent on you. I cannot live this life in my own strength. It just doesn't work. And so God's saying, ring fence off your life by going deeper with me, journal me in the word, allow me to speak to you and reveal who I am to you. Ring fence off some things in your life so the roots cannot be destroyed by what we've just looked at in Matthew 13, by the pressures of life or the storms of life or whatever's going on, because they will happen, whether we want them or not. Stuff will happen that challenges us, whether personally or in society, and we need to have our lives ring-fenced so that nothing can steal anything away from our lives that God is doing and speaking, so that we can move and live as the people God has called us to be. There's our personal walk with God that is fundamental to the purposes of God, but there's also a bigger picture of the church rising at this time to be who God has called us to be, a light to the world, a city on a hill. And we must live in this place of total dependence on Him. Amen. Just one last thing and then we need to pray. Jeremiah 17 verses 7 and 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Blessed is the man who rests in God. The great rest, can I let you know, is not just a message for a few weeks earlier in the year. The great rest is the relationship with God that you live in. That's what it is. It's the relationship. That's what you're cultivating every day. That's what you're living in every moment. It's a place, it's trust. This is, the great rest is who you are in Christ. It's who you are as a person of the Spirit. It is your new person in Christ and God revealing who He is. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence or certainty is in Him. Listen to this. He is like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. It doesn't fear, right, when stuff goes on in life. Everything that's kicking off all over the, you see it on the news every day. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries. Wow, that is awesome. Imagine living a life like that. No worries. How many of you want a life like that? It's possible right now. It's possible. The Bible will never say anything that is not possible in God. So the one who's rooted, going deeper, living in a place of rest, dependence, trust, in a moment by moment relationship with God, has no worries. Where? In a year of drought. When everybody else is looking for answers, and everybody else don't know where things are going, when everything's kicking off, you and I, the church, is not living by fear, not living in worries, not reacting to the moment, but listening to the things of God, moving in the things of God. Some of the things James said last week, decreeing those things. Your name is on all sorts of people's lives out there. Your name is on fruitfulness, and it's like time to call it in, time to call it in, kind of speak those things in. It has no worries in your drought, and never, listen to this, and never fails to bear fruit. Never fails to bear fruit. That's awesome. We've been appointed to bear fruit, personally and corporately. Fruit that lasts, fruit that remains. There's loads of other scriptures that we have, but we've run out of time. Let's stand together, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. As we come into the new year, just close your eyes for a minute. We're going to be journaling through Matthew. We're going to have encounter nights the first 4 days, the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of that first week, 4th to the 7th. We're going to have encounter nights together. All the congregations, the students in the college, anybody else that we want to invite to be in 4 nights to encounter God. The Wednesday nights, encounter nights. We have a vision night one of the Wednesdays. But we want to go through the book of Matthew. Journal with Jesus. Then as we come into February, it's easy, you know, when we have 28 days or a time of prayer and fasting, when it finishes, we can't say, that was great, you know, what's next? But one of the things that God's been speaking to me about is he doesn't just want us to have 28 days to encounter him for the rest of the year. But God wants to define something new in every one of our lives. Even the children are going to be part of this whole thing. You know, them getting their Bibles and a lot of them being so excited about it. God's going to begin to do something new in your kids. Not just on a Sunday morning, but in your home when they're reading the Bible. And what we want to encourage every person that can read and write to have a Bible, have a notebook and a pen. And every day, just jot down what God is saying, write down what he's saying, what that means. Even our kids, we want to help them get their roots in God, to go deeper in him. And as we come into February, we're going to go through the book of Acts. And we're going to walk with the early church through the book of Acts. So we go deeper in January, to go further in February in God's purposes, like they did in the book of Acts. And then the other thing we're going to do, the first 7 days from February to December, the first 7 days of every month, we're going to have 24/7 prayer, the first week of every month. Because God, I believe God's been saying, we need to press in a bit more on our own, but together the dynamic of prayer that goes on for the harvest that he wants to bring. And that we're going to have 24/7 prayer. It's not going to be in a room in a building. It's going to be where you are, and you can sign up. We'll explain all that in a few weeks' time. But we're gonna push into God. We're gonna push into his purposes. We're gonna see fresh breakthroughs. Those 24/7 times, we're gonna be praying for harvest, praying for friends and family. It's gonna be praying for households, praying for the 25-mile radius. It's a time where there needs to be an acceleration, an increase, a release of the whole dynamic of what God wants to do in a greater way through who we are as a people. It's time. The enemy has turned up the heat of what he's doing. It's just being more revealed. And at the same time, we don't respond to the enemy. We respond to the things of God. We respond to what he's saying. But we see the importance that we to stop messing around in the shallows of life and the stuff of life. And it's time to go deeper with God because of what he wants to do, not just in us, but through us as a people. So, Father, I thank you. I praise your name for who you've called us to be, who you've made us. Father, I thank you that when we respond to you, there's a grace that you release to enable us to respond to you, to live in that obedience of what you're saying. But, Father, I thank you as we look to not just wait to January, but in these coming days, press into you, but in coming into the new year, as we get into your word in a fresh way, as we seek to be those oaks of righteousness that you have made us to be, and that those oaks grow, become stronger in the new year. Father, I thank you. There's going to be a multiplication of fruitfulness. That oak tree outside our house has millions of, well, a lot of the leaves have fallen off but because of the time of year, but millions of leaves and millions of oak acorns. And as Jane said last week, one little acorn becomes a massive oak tree. Day after day after day, it grows, it grows, it grows. Father, we thank you. We praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you just need to reaffirm the truth for a moment. I no longer live. Just say that. I no longer live. Just say, the old person I was does not exist any longer. God is not speaking to the old person to say, try and be this person that Clive's talking about this morning. No, he's saying, you're dead and buried. That old life is gone.
That's right.
This is God saying, what I'm speaking to you is that new person that I've made you. I'm speaking to you as an oak of righteousness. I'm speaking to you as a planting of the Lord. I'm speaking to you as somebody who's going to go from root to fruit. I'm speaking to you as someone who I've called to be an oak of righteousness that others can come and feed from that and find life in who I am in you and through you. It's time to rise up in the way that I was speaking about last week, to decree everything that I purpose for your life. Don't take no for an answer. Don't take the status quo as the way things are. It's time to take a hold of who I am, the things that I speak, the promises that I give you. It's time to take hold of the authority of my word. And as you work with my word and speak it and declare it, you'll find something new begins to rise up and get released in your life. No longer will you think of yourself as a victim, but you'll see yourself as a victor. You will not see yourself as a lost failure, but you'll see yourself as a victorious, overcoming person. It's time for my church to be who I've called my church to be in this day and this hour. Be who I've called you to be. Be who I've called you to be. Be who I've called you to be.
Yes.
You are an oak of righteousness. You are a planting of the Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we praise your name. Father, we thank you that you're not messing about. We thank you that you're on the move. See, God will be on the move in your life. Or how you perceive God being on the move will be determined by how much he's on the move on the inside of you. See, one person in here could say, God is on the move. He's working. It's amazing. I'm just so enjoying what God's doing. He's leading me. He's speaking. There's stuff happening. Things are going on. And somebody else could be standing there going, well, I don't think he's on the move in the way you're talking about. It's all to do with what's happening on the inside of you. There can be a revival going on, but if there's nothing happening on the inside, you'd be like, well, yeah, it's all right. Ugh, nothing's happening as far as I'm concerned. It's not the external that will put fire in your bones, will cause the root to become fruitful. It's what's happening on the inside. There's no shortcuts, guys.
Yes.
It's not lay hands on me for a fresh anointing. Lay hands on me so that the word comes alive in a new way. No, God just says, come alone with me.
Yes.
Be with me. Live with me. Feed on me. Feed on me. Listen to my voice. Journal with me. Walk with me. Let me speak to you. Let me reveal who I am. You'll find it doesn't take long. You give God a few days like this. Something. You'll be different by next Sunday than you are today. You just give God a few minutes, few moments. Those few moments will become minutes. Those minutes will become half an hour. That half an hour become an hour. That hour become... Why? Because a hunger takes place. Yeah. You'll move from, I've got to have a quiet time with Jesus before I go to work for 5 minutes. You'll move from that to a hunger of God, I want to get up. Father, I want a time with you. During the day, you'll nip off because you want to just read the word. You want to just hear from him. You just want to be with him. You'll get home in the evening and instead of watching TV, you'll be like, I'm just going to go and reread the word for a few minutes because I can't get enough of who he is. But that happens moment by moment, moment by moment. What you fuel and what you fuel will become life. You'll fan into flame without having to try. I'm not saying walk up and down your lounge praying in tongues for half an hour to try and get something going. God might speak to you about praying in tongues and all that. He'll just take you wherever he wants to take you. But plug in.
Yeah.
Press in. When you begin to do this, you'll find God will show you areas in your heart that are rocky or thorny or even hard.
Come on.
And as you till with the word, the soil of your heart breaks up. It begins to easier to receive water and oxygen to make it nourished so that your relationship can go deeper, your roots go deeper. Father, I thank you. I praise your name. Father, you're awesome. You're mighty. You're wonderful. Time's gone this morning, so we're not going to have communion, just the kids and all of that sort of stuff. So we'll have it another week. But you're having communion right now with him. So, Father, I praise your name. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you for everything you're going to do next year. But, Father, I thank you for what you're doing right now and what you're leading us into. You might say, well, I can't wait till... Can I start Matthew now? If you want, it's fine. Just grab a gospel, grab something else. Read Ephesians, read Galatians, read... Just get something. God might say, read this book or read that, but in terms of the Bible. I don't mean somebody else's, but I mean the Bible. If you don't know where to start, just get a gospel and just start reading one of the gospels. Just read a chapter. But don't just read it, but go slow. Read it. What's it saying? Well, and the Holy Spirit will begin to... Something will begin to work in your spirit. You'll begin to get answers. You'll begin to get revelation. Stuff will begin to happen. He'll show you stuff to pray. Whatever it is, he'll take you on a journey. Father, we praise your mighty name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just turn to somebody else. Say, from root to fruit. Now say, you're going to go deeper to go further.
Just want to say amen to everything that has been said by both speakers this morning. But God has been speaking to me these last few days and saying that what we are to do in this next season is to soak ourselves in the Word of God. And that's such a confirmation to what Clive has just been saying. Soak yourself in the Word of God. Caroline and I are going off just for a few days break, but I'd already resolved I'm taking the Word with me to soak myself, even while we're on a few days break, to soak myself in the Word of God. Life is going to spring forth as we do that. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.